May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As some of you know, I began my Christian journey in a Pentecostal church. I was 21 years old. It was 1973. I was converted to Christ on the 5th of August, and my life changed for the better in 1,000 different ways. A new way of looking at the world, new hope, gaps in my personality which suddenly seemed to be miraculously filled, and a whole circle of new friends. It was absolutely wonderful. It lasted about a month, that sense of wonder and joy, until I had my first crisis of faith. The crisis of faith happened because the pastor in our church told us that we couldn't be Christians unless we believed every word of the Bible to be literally true. And specifically he said, you cannot be a Christian if you don't believe in Noah's flood. Well, I went back to my flat that night, and I lay in my bed and I thought about this, about Noah's flood, about what happened there. And 40 days of rain in which the world was covered with water above the depth of the highest mountain, which I knew was Mount Everest, and which I knew was about 30,000 feet high. So that meant 30,000 feet of water in 40 days. So we all know what it's like when we get maybe 2 inches of rain in 24 hours, what a downpour that is. But this was 750 feet of water every day for 40 days. And then I thought about the animals in the ark, and I wondered about the mowers. Because I knew that there wasn't just one pair of every bird and animal in the ark, but that there were 7 pairs of every bird. And I knew that there were 17 species of mower, which meant that on the ark there were 238 mowers. To say nothing of the 14 Haast eagles whose staple diet was mowers. And what did they do for the 40 days or so on the ark? Did they starve, or did God put them on some sort of special diet? I don't know what was going on here. And then the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, and how did the mowers get home? They certainly didn't walk. Now, I thought all this stuff through, and I had this big decision to make, because I really valued all of this newfound joy and companionship and meaning which had come with the Christian faith. But I simply could not believe that there was an ark as it was described in the book of Genesis. It was simply too preposterous. And I thought, I've got to be loyal to the truth. I cannot believe this, so I'll have to give up being a Christian. And I lay there on my bed and thought this, and it seemed as though I was stepping off a great cliff into nothingness again. But I thought, I've got to make that step, which I did. And the sense that I had was of stepping off not into darkness and extinction, but onto a vast hand which was waiting just under the brow of the cliff, waiting to usher me into something bigger than the Christian faith which my church had been proclaiming. The first crisis of faith, like all crises of faith, was brought to me to bring me to a deeper and a bigger and a better understanding. And that understanding was about the nature of faith, what faith is. See, my church believed that faith and belief were pretty much the same sort of thing. And they knew that the Bible taught that we are saved by faith. So if faith and belief are exactly the same thing, and you're saved by faith, well then you've got to have the right beliefs in order to be saved. That's all quite logical. Except they were misguided in the understanding of what faith is. Now, faith and belief are related, but they are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. I think that faith contains belief, but it's bigger than belief. Now, with belief, you can't really choose what you believe. I think you believe it or you don't. I could bring up some philosophical argument, for example, that the pew you're sitting on this morning doesn't exist. But no matter how hard I argued, I don't think you can make yourself believe that, because you have the evidence of your own senses. Our beliefs come to us through the evidence that is presented to us by the world and by our logical and reasonable reflection on that evidence. But on the other hand, our faith is chosen. We decide what we will put our faith in. Let me give you a fanciful example. Imagine that you're walking through the jungle, and behind you you hear the roaring of a lion, and you rush across the jungle until you come to a vast ravine. There's no way across it except for a little rickety bridge. And you look at that bridge, and you look at the frayed ropes and the rotten boards, and you don't believe that that bridge will hold your weight. But suddenly behind you, you hear the roaring of the lion again and realize the lion is a little bit closer. And despite the fact that you don't believe the bridge will hold your weight, you walk out onto it anyway. You choose to put your faith in that bridge. You see, belief is part of faith. Belief is presented to us by the evidence of our bodies and our experience. But another great component of faith is trust. Do I trust this thing? And it's our choice whether we trust or not trust. To think of a more scriptural example, think of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, where Jesus had delayed his coming to the bedside of his sick friend. And when he arrived, Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, reproached Jesus. Mary was too angry with Jesus to even come out and see him. But Martha, playing the good host, went and she poured out her hurt and bitterness that Jesus hadn't come. And she asked Jesus, why? And he said, don't you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Don't you believe, he said, that the dead will die again? She said, yes, I believe that they will rise again at the end of the age. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe, said Martha. Then said Jesus, roll the stone away. Now it's evident from the conversation that Martha didn't believe that Jesus could do anything. Her brother was dead. She didn't believe it. But nevertheless, she decided to trust Jesus and said to the people around him, do as he says. You see, we can trust despite our beliefs. The third component of faith, after belief and trust, is that unlike belief, which is a noun, something that we possess, Faith is a verb, something that we do. So if we have faith in something, it implies that we are going to do something, going to act on what we put our faith in. With all of the great virtues, you have to be in community in order to practice them. You think of patience, or love, or hope. You can be as loving as you like when you're sitting in your room all by yourself. It's only when you are in company with other people that you really find out whether you are loving or not. And it's the same with faith. The call to be a person of faith is a call to be a person of action. Living out what you believe. Living out what you trust. And a life which will transform you and transform others. In a few moments, we will witness one of our number making profession of faith. I will confirm her in the faith which she has chosen to walk. And as we stand and support her, we also are invited to reflect on our own profession of faith and to remember the responsibilities which that entails. Our responsibility to belief, to the challenge of always investigating and thinking and drawing nearer to the truth. The responsibility to trust, to choose to trust in God, to trust in his community of faith, to trust that he will lead us through this life and make of us what he will, despite what our beliefs may sometimes tell us. And our responsibility to act on that trust, so that we and those around us may in their turn be encouraged on their walk of faith. This morning's reading from Isaiah is one of the most powerful and beautiful in all of the prophets. Can a mother forget the child that she has born, asks God. Even if she should forget, I will not forget you. Your walls are continually before me. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Do we believe this? Do we choose to trust this love of God? Do we have the courage to live our lives based on that trust?